Do you currently have the sole mortgage on this house?
Yes.
Are you the person making the payments on the house?
Yes, I am.
And do you know, as you sit here now, whether you would otherwise meet the income floor, the income limits for this property?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working half-time from Multnomah County, and I'm going to graduate school, so.
I'm sorry, did you say you've continuously lived in the house and it's just the ownership title that's changed? You've
Correct.
Never not lived in the house?
No, I and my children have been the only people living there.
And has your name always been on the deed? Your mother's name was just added?
Her name was the only name on the deed at the time of purchase. Within 1 month, a new deed was recorded reflecting both of our names.
So were you... So maybe I wasn't paying attention at the beginning. So did you have an abatement that you did qualify for while you were married, but then the marriage caused the deed to change, and is that the issue?
No, these are two separate properties. My former husband and I resided in a home. We had sold the home when we were awaiting proceeds. I wanted to move before that closing, so this property on Montana was purchased.
And it was a brand new house?
Correct.
And it qualified for the abatement when the house was purchased?
Correct.
But your mom put her name on it?
Right.
But you moved into it?
Yes.
And then after you lived in it for a while, you put your name on the deed as well?
Correct.
And so were you given the abatement when you first moved in?
No, I had applied for it in October.
And did you know you were not qualified for it when you moved in?
Well, I had numerous phone conversations with, what's her name? Marilyn Hurtley of PDC, and I had explained to her, you know, the terms of the deed and the deed transfer.
And she said what?
She said that she encouraged me to apply, and she said, and when I applied...
I want to just walk you through this so that I just understand. Yeah. So she encouraged you to apply, so you applied.
Mm-hmm.
Was the application acted on before the house closed?
No.
And so you moved into the house, and the application hadn't been acted upon, and your mom's name is on the deed. So what happened when finally they made a decision about your application? What were you actually told?
I was told that I was not the original owner because the original deed had solely my mother's name. 1 month after that property was purchased, a new deed was recorded reflecting both of our names.
And did they warn you about that in the application process?
No.
As I understand your claim, though, because of the divorce and the impact of the divorce on your own finances, you are not in a position to close on the house without your mother's help. Your mother,
exactly,
in effect, acted as your agent to acquire and close on the house, and then subsequently there was a change in the deed to reflect your ownership.
Yes.
I guess, why is that necessary? Why was it necessary? Why didn't your mother just co-sign the loan or something? Why didn't you have
I had been a stay-at-home mother for 5 years. I had, so that employment gap, and I had no money, so I could not obtain a loan.
I certainly understand that. I guess I'm just, this may be a question for Nick or somebody else, but why wouldn't, because I have children and I co-sign all the time. I'm very familiar with that. And but they get their name on whatever it is that I'm essentially buying. Why didn't you do that? Is there some reason that didn't happen, why your mom and your name didn't go on at the same time? Given that she was using her credit to purchase
it,
what was the problem with just having your name on it?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
That's how she, you know, offered to do it for me. So.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I'm just curious. It was denied because the applicant was not the original owner.
Correct.
Would the applicant have met all the other conditions?
She does qualify income-wise, and the house sold at the correct price.
And are you, and this is either for you or counsel, are there any precedents that we have available to us where someone acts as an agent for someone because of some financial circumstance where in effect, you would be treated as the original owner because the person was acting on your behalf?
I don't know. I generally, we look at who is on the deed. And we, as Randy said, we often have parents who co-sign or people who are on the deed because of financial means. But normally, the person who's going to occupy the home is on the deed initially.
In this case, if mother and daughter had acquired the property as joint tenants and they were both on the deed, as Randy suggested, and mom signed, you know, co-signed the mortgage, would she be qualified for this under this program?
Yes.
So is there any, so first of all, were you listening to my soliloquy? Did you hear her recount? Do you dispute any of what was said? So that
no.
She moved into the house and there's no dispute about
no.
that?
No. The mother purchased it. Excuse me. The mother purchased it. She has stated all along that she does not live there. It never intended to live there. And I don't know whether she would have qualified income-wise, but as a non-occupant owner, she wouldn't have qualified.
Right.
So,
but you don't dispute that that she, Ms. Mortimer, lived in the house from day one?
No,
Okay, I just want to make sure I know what the issue is. So is there any reason that you know of that Ms. Mortimer's name wouldn't have been listed jointly with the mom? Is there something that you are aware of?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. So, I mean, not like a credit thing. I mean, other than she didn't have any credit, but I mean, not like some bad thing that was a strategy to keep her name off that would have, had her name been on, caused her not to be able to purchase the house. You're not aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So is it, from your viewpoint, this is really a technical oversight. They just really weren't aware that they probably should have jointly.
I really can't tell you. I just know that she did take title solely to start with, and then she quit claimed it to both of them.
Within a month or so?
Yeah. It's a short period of time.
And so what did that accomplish? I mean, there's still a mortgage on the house, correct? So what did that accomplish by quit claiming it to you?
Just because she's, I have two children. She's listed in my will as the executor of my estate. She requested
who
that we
who
do
makes
that
the payment? You make the
I
payment.
I make the payments. I make
so
all the payments.
So the only reason she did that is because she had the credit to take out the loan?
Correct.
And so normally when one takes out a loan, the bank won't let your name come off the property until the loan's paid.
Right.
The loan paid?
No, the loan is not.
She's still paying? Did she actually borrow the money for the house?
She borrowed it. I reimbursed her within 30 months.
So you went out and you refinanced the house?
Did not. No. I got cash from the sale of my previous home.
I see. So you were able to satisfy the mortgage that your mom took out with the cash from your previous home?
Correct, which I received within a month of purchasing the home or the condo on Montana Avenue.
I see.
I don't believe she said it. You're still making the mortgage payments, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. She paid her mother back the down payment and the closing costs. But the mortgage is still out in your mother's
yes.
name.
Correct.
Well, that's the part I'm kind of okay. focusing in on here. How is it that the mortgage company would allow your mom? Well, her name didn't get
her
removed.
Name is on.
You just added your name.
Correct.
I see.
And that part, as I understand it, would have a legal benefit in case she predeceased her mom. Because
I was just kind of questioning the
your mom was
technical stuff.
Giving you an owner, giving you a recorded interest in the property, so
yes.
that if.
So has PDC independently verified each of these different transactions, do you have any reason to want to know about all that stuff?
Well, we looked at the chain of title, so we know that her mother came on title by herself, and that then it was quit claim to the mother and the daughter together. As far as the mortgage, we normally don't have anything to do with that part of it.
Okay. So I know I've asked you this, but this is for my own thinking, and it may not make sense to an attorney, but for my thinking, is there any reason you are aware of, other than just ignorance of the law, is there any reason you're aware of that Ms. Mortimer would not have been on the title originally with the mom?
Unless the mortgage holder wouldn't allow it, I don't – that would – you know, totally depends on the mortgage holder. And
but other than that?
Other than that, I am not personally aware of any other reason.
And so I want to ask you, Ms. Mortimer, was there some issue with the mortgage company with you being originally on the title?
That I don't know. I would have to find out. My mother could answer that question.
But you never had that conversation. I mean, your mom didn't say, oh, you can't be on the title because you don't have credit.
She may have, and I don't recall having
I actually thought that was a fantastic question. It provokes another question that I want to ask our city attorney. If Ms. Mortimer had not been able to close, if instead of having her mother acquire the property, if she had planned to acquire the property with her mother, but had not been at the closing because of an illness, and someone appeared as an attorney in fact on her behalf, would that disqualify her under the not the original owner, or would the attorney in fact be deemed a legal agent for her sufficient to qualify?
Assuming that they were an attorney in fact and signing on her behalf, then she would have been the owner of the property in her own name and the mortgage would have been in her name. The one question I have is whether or not the application was made before the final permit was issued.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
So all the conditions of the tax abatement were satisfied except for her mom's name being the sole name on the mortgage or the title, the deed. And if they would simply had added Ms. Mortimer's name at that time, all of the conditions of the application for the abatement would have been satisfied.
Correct.
Did you have any signed document between you and your mom about this?
No, this was a verbal agreement.
And so you didn't have anybody like attest to it or anything like that?
No, but my mother has submitted an affidavit to the. No, she's not.
Do you have the affidavit?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
And I should add that I submitted a similar affidavit from her with the application initially.
With the application to?
To PDC.
Oh, so you received a copy of this?
This is one she did today, but when I originally had applied in October of 2007, she gave me an affidavit stating the same facts as in that
when
one.
You applied in October. When did you move into the property?
February 2007.
February of 2007. Mm-hmm. So why would you have applied October of 2007?
Why did I wait that long to apply?
Yeah.
I had just gotten divorced. I had 2 and 5-year-old children. I was working. I was kind of busy.
Well, but I thought that the purpose of the credit was to incent first-time buyers. And that,
well, they don't necessarily have to be first-time buyers, but the programs.
I mean, first-time homes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is to incent the building of the homes.
So you moved into the property again when?
February 2007.
And then you applied for the abatement in October 2007.
Correct.
As my understanding would be, though, that you would not have been billed for property taxes until, what, November?
Correct.
So there was no economic impact. You might have acted earlier, but you had not suffered an economic consequence because of the delay.
Correct.
I'm just a little confused because mm-hmm. This was with the prior cases that we've heard. I thought that one need to apply for
after December 31st, 2007, the builder or someone had to apply prior to the building permit. But earlier in 2007, people could apply after the house was completed.
Ah, so she falls under the had this occurred after.
Had this occurred in this year, she would have applied too late because the house would have already been completed if the builder hadn't applied while it was under construction.
I see. So did you not apply originally because you weren't aware of the abatement?
No, I was aware of it, but I knew that I had a deadline to meet, and I met that deadline.
And what was the deadline then?
I don't recall the exact deadline. I'm sorry.
Do you remember?
Well, it would have been December 31st of 2007, would have been the deadline for anyone who was purchasing an existing unit during 2007. They had to apply by the end of the year. So she met that deadline, but she didn't apply for several months after she purchased.
So you knew the program existed when you bought it?
Yes, I did.
But were you relying on the program to be able to afford the house?
Yes, I was. And am, yes.
I'm just curious why you wouldn't have applied at the time. It just seems like you would apply. I understand you were within the time frame, but I guess I would have wanted to know that I had a signed acceptance of my application before I committed myself to paying a mortgage payment. Do you see what I'm saying?
I had had several phone conversations with the PDC, and I was made to understand that I met the criteria.
So you talked to them?
Oh, yes.
You just hadn't just technically
gotten it, exactly. Okay.
And they told you that, they told you what?
That we went through all the requirements, and I was told that I met all of the requirements.
And so you were going to pay your taxes like on an annual basis? You don't pay it as part of your mortgage?
No, I paid on an annual basis.
So you weren't worried about getting it in until whenever the taxes were due, the application?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's your affidavit. Does anybody want to see this?
No.
Great, thanks.
Is there anybody here on behalf of a property that did not sign up to testify? Okay, seeing none. Okay, so we are back to considering Resolution 1302. Which actually nobody appeared to testify on behalf of, so happy. I guess we can. Is there any further discussion on 1302? We'll go ahead and do the vote, and then we can.
Let's see, which one we get them straight here.
That's the transit-oriented development.
We've had no appeals under 1302. Right. Motion to approve the recommendations to terminate all the tax exemptions listed in 1302.
It's a resolution. I don't think we need a motion. We just vote on it.
So you can just call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. Okay, that brings us to 1303.
So I am, as was probably clear from my questions, struggling with this last appeal.
I am too.
I have a. Are we in just discussion now?
Yeah, yes.
On that
discussion.
One?
We've learned our lesson. Learned our lesson last night about jumping to.
I wanted to make a suggestion, which is we take this particular appeal out of the mix. Adopt vote on the resolution without this, and direct staff to over the next 30 days take another look at this issue with counsel, because I think there are some questions of precedent. I think what I'm hearing you say and what I'm feeling is this is an awfully close call, and I would rather have staff and counsel take a look at the legal ramifications first before we go. But I think you've done a great job outlining the concerns. I do think there's a couple things we need to verify.
Okay.
And so I would add that we suggest that we hold that one, whatever the proper term is, we just hold that one over and act on the rest.
And I would just add for the staff that's looking at this that notwithstanding what the legal issues may be, what I think would be helpful for me is if we could talk to Ms. Mortimer's mom and just try to, if we couldn't, just narrow down exactly why they didn't include Ms. Mortimer on the original deed, is have a conversation. And if it's because of no reason other than they didn't think about it, that's fine. I mean, I'm not looking for necessarily a definitive answer, but it would be helpful for me to understand if there was some technical thought out reason that they decided did not do that. And if not, that's fine.
Commissioner Fisher has a motion.
Well, I would move that we remove application 375607 from resolution 1303, direct staff to undertake further consideration of the appeal and report back to us within 30 days, and otherwise adopt the resolution.
Second.
Okay. So this will actually be...
I think we vote on
the
motion
first. Yeah, we'll vote on
the
motion, and then we'll vote on the resolution. So the motion is to remove... I already misplaced it, but...
3756-07.
From the resolution. And to return
right.
with 30 days, within 30 days on that.
So please Fish.
Call the roll. Aye.
Leonard.
So are we going to vote on the resolution after this?
Yeah.
Okay. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Please call the roll on resolution 1303.
Fish.
I want to begin by thanking all the folks who came and took time today to pursue their appeals, and I think each of you presented equities and concerns which we have heard, and we acknowledge hardship. We are, however, bound by a set of rules that we do not have the flexibility to adjust to each hardship. And I regret that, but our job in this case is to apply the rules. And to the extent it works a hardship on anyone who has appeared here today, I want to acknowledge Beth Kay in the back of the room. Beth, would you raise your hand? Beth works for the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, and one of the portfolios that we have is to help folks who are facing financial hardship with their homes and imminent foreclosure. And we also have some new tools, thanks to recently enacted federal legislation. So if there is some way that the city can be of service to you in dealing with whatever hardships you're experiencing with your properties, please touch base with Beth Kay, and BHCD would be happy to confer with you on that. And again, I appreciate that you took the time to come out. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I want to first say I appreciate Commissioner Fish just generally speaking bringing attention to this area. This is an area I have been concerned about since arriving on the council. I appreciate the work of PDC in really focusing on these issues, because I think that by taking kind of the more microscopic look at the abatements that we have been, they actually reinforce the program. I mean, that actually restores credibility, certainly with me, but with the public at large, knowing that we're very careful about how we hand these out. Having said that, I agree with Commissioner Fish. I wished I didn't hear any appeals that, from a substance point of view, I wouldn't have agreed to give you the benefit of the doubt. But unfortunately, the rules constrain us from doing that. I would definitely follow up on his offer, however, to talk with the folks at BHCD about other help, because they're very good at providing that. So maybe there's still something else we can do to help those that won't get their appeal approved today. Aye.
Salzman.
Well, I guess I want to say I want to thank people here for bringing their appeals here, but as you know, that issues of tax abatements receive a lot of scrutiny these days, and we have worked at length to make sure that our tax abatements are truly going to achieve certain public policy benefits, such as homeownership, transit-oriented development. And those rules, unfortunately, I think in your cases, have not been complied with, and I think many of you probably do have recourse against who represented you in selling the house to you. But nevertheless, as sympathetic as I am to your situations, and I know this is an additional burden for property taxes, I think we have to maintain adherence to our rules, and therefore I also vote aye. So we now stand adjourned until Wednesday at 9:30.